Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And we will read verses 1 to 3. The focus of our sermon will be verse 3 this morning. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. As we read this passage, we are going to be speaking and hearing on the topic of consider Christ. Consider Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, speak to us now. Use your word and these teachings about Jesus Christ to fill up our hearts and our minds that we in fact may consider him. Consider Christ. So that we will not become weary and discouraged in our souls. Lord, we pray that you would bless our time now and work in our hearts to strengthen us in our faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Running the race of faith, you're not always running with the wind at your back. That is why we are taught in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, to run with endurance. If the wind was always at your back, you wouldn't need endurance. You would be being pushed along. Verses 1 and 2, we learned last encouraged and exhorted and enlightened to endure this lifelong race that is run against the wind. And by against the wind, I mean there are opposing forces back race of faith. So hard does that wind push against you that you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So opposing forces push against us in the race of faith that honestly sometimes we do want to drop out. And sometimes people do. There are people, there are institutions, there are governmental forces that we cannot see that are at all who do not want us to succeed or endure in this race of faith. And it's oftentimes that these forces, these winds that push against us, cannot be avoided. They are all around us, and they are actively working against us to keep us from running with endurance the race that is set before us. Such was the life of Christ, and such shall be if you follow in his steps. Make no mistake about that. You will face opposing forces. You will face persecutions. You will face hostilities. 2 Timothy chapter 1 that all who will live godly will suffer persecution. To what level of persecution you will suffer providence, for even these things are not out of his hand. As we this opposition that comes in direct correlation to how well we are running. It will be sometimes that the closer you draw near to the Lord, we might say the better you are running the race of faith, that you still yet may face even stronger hostilities and stronger persecution. Other times it may come when you are not running so well. still in the Lord's hand because He uses this for us and for our strengthening. But it comes for different reasons and at different times to each of us, just as it came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit previously in verses 1 to 2 called us to look exclusively and continually at Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the chief example of running the race with endurance. And now here in verse 3, the Spirit of God calls us to take another action. And that in verses 1 and 2, we were called to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And now this other action He calls us to is a preventive measure to keep you from dropping out of the race. You notice what verse 3 says, "For consider Him who endured such hostilities from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged." And so this is not an admonition just to think about Jesus when we become discouraged or weary. But it is an admonition and exhortation to think about Jesus, to consider Christ, lest that happens, before it happens. And that's an important principle to remember here as we look at this one verse in Hebrews chapter 12. So the action that you are being called to this morning from God's Word and with a promise is to consider Christ. To consider Christ that you do not grow weary and discouraged. Because I promise you, and you already know this, that in this life you will have circumstances and situations and events in your life that are absolutely legitimate to discourage you. In other words, there are real reasons that we could be discouraged. There are real reasons that we could become weary and discouraged in our souls. But here in God's Word, a promise is made to us that if we will consider Christ, we can prevent that discouragement, even though there is great reason for it. And this is where the rubber hits the road, friends. This is not just talk about running the race of faith with endurance. This is where you actually and will face situations that say to you, is it worth it? Is it worth it to keep running the race of following Christ? And this, in fact, today is part of our race. And I mean this very moment for you to believe by faith, even as I am speaking and reading and preaching God's Word, to believe by faith that considering Christ will actually prevent you from being discouraged and weary in your soul. You must hear this today. You must believe it. That God has given you something, has given you something in Jesus Christ that prevents weariness and discouragement. And we must take it and appropriate it to our lives if we are to be able to endure the race all the way to the end. And so in this verse 3 we will look at today, I want you to consider first Him who endured. Consider Christ who endured. Secondly, consider the hostilities He endured. And we're going to look at those, and they come from some surprising places. Consider Him who endured. Consider the hostilities He endured. And consider the hostilities to endure. So first, let's consider Him who endured. If you are familiar with the Gospels, and I know that you are, life on earth for Jesus Christ was not a walk in the park. It was a hard race. He faced opposition His whole life. Even when He was a newborn infant, He faced opposition from the very beginning. We are to consider Christ. And the words here that say consider Him means to think about Him. Often when we use the word consider, we don't really think hard kind of take that word as casual. Have you considered this, we might say to somebody? When in reality that word means, have you thought rightly and correctly about these things? And that's what the Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, is calling us here this morning to do. We are called to think about Jesus rightly and correctly, and to think about who He is. For this first phrase, before it says anything else, says, consider Him. Consider Him. Who is Jesus Christ? Think about it correctly. Think about it rightly. He was and is a true man. He was and is true God. Just recently, we had some Jehovah's Witnesses knock on the door of our home. And the first thing they were trying to do was to try and form some kind of common alliance that we might have together. And they said, well, magnets on your car that talk about your church. How much we appreciate, as they tried to read Scripture to us, that you are. But as we talked to them and told them, we are not in alliance together. Because you are not thinking correctly about the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not believe that He is God. You do not believe that He is the Son of God. And so we are not in fellowship together. And so the Holy Spirit commands you and I to think of Jesus correctly. And this is something that we may think, well, I believe the Bible. I understand who Jesus is. I think correctly about Jesus. How many times do we not think correctly about Jesus? And how many times are we not considering Him, but more so considering our circumstances and our situations? I recently watched a pastor and an auditorium of college students who were very, very hostile to this pastor. And this pastor knew that. He knew going in. In fact, that their hostility so that he could answer their questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. One student asked the question, what is the big deal about the cross when he knew in 3 days again? What's the big deal? Seems like anybody could do that. The student had no idea what it meant for Christ to come to earth, to take on the form of a man, to leave His Father's side in a glory that we can't even imagine, to take on the form of His own creation, and to die being forsaken by His Father. We must be thinking correctly about Jesus. That student wasn't, those Jehovah's Witnesses weren't, and sadly too often in the church we don't either. Because oftentimes we think when we're going through persecutions or hostilities from sinners against ourselves, we think, where is Jesus? Why am I going through this? When in reality, Jesus went through the same thing, leaving you an example whereby you may follow in His footsteps and also endure those kind of hostilities. And so when we consider Jesus, we need to think of Him in His whole person. As man, true man, and as the God-man. He was not the God-man who was not impacted by hostilities, not affected by hostilities in this life. Jesus was not a superhero like we see portrayed in entertainment films today that things don't affect Him. The hostilities that Jesus suffered affected Him. They did something to Him. So when we consider Jesus Christ, we need to think correctly about Him. He suffered hunger, thirst, and sorrow, discouragement, rejection, human weaknesses. As He took on the form of a man, it wasn't a false thing that He did. It was a real thing that He did. He took on the form of a man. He became man that He might suffer like man, that He might experience humanity like we do. And so we are to think about Jesus as He is presented to us in Scripture. One demonstration of Jesus being a man was Pilate's flogging and mockery of Jesus during his trial before the Jews. John 19, verses 1 to 5 tells us that they put a purple robe upon him, put a crown of thorns on his head, saying, and struck him. This is the Jesus that we are to be thinking of, who suffered hostilities against himself from sinners. And after they had done all that, Pilate then took Jesus out. Behold, man. Now, Pilate was probably doing this to show the Jews because, for some reason, he did not want to crucify Jesus. But he was probably telling the Jews, look what I've done to him. Look how I have humiliated him. Look how I have scourged him, mocked him. He's just a man. But when he said, behold the man, he didn't know how much truth he was speaking. For this evidence that he was presenting to them was that Christ was a man with a real body, a true body that bled just like other men. And it was he as a man, as he came to save men. As the first man, Adam, had failed to keep God's law, the second man, Jesus, came to keep that law and did it, so that he might be a worthy Savior of those whom he loved. So when we think about Jesus Christ, we need to think of him as a true man, so that Jesus could do the work of salvation for mankind. And so the Spirit of God this morning tells us to consider Christ, which means to think correctly and rightly about him. And so I encourage you not to sit here this morning and think, well, I already do that. What I would encourage you to do is to ask the Lord to help you think and see where maybe you don't. Where maybe you are not considering Christ rightly as you should. As it was in the moments that he had with Pilate, Christ's path to saving man was filled with hostilities from sinners against himself. And we might think that that came from just his enemies, when in reality, Jesus faced hostility from every relationship that he had on this earth. He faced hostility from every relationship he had on this earth because he had relationships with sinners. And that's what we secondly see in the middle part of verse 3, that we are to consider him and the hostilities he endured. And so we are to think correctly about from sinners. All kinds of sinners. The sinners he came to save who opposed him. And we find these sinners in every relationship that Jesus had with people. And we are to look at these things. And why does the Holy Spirit want you and I to look at the hostilities that Jesus suffered? I mean, that's over 2,000 years ago. Isn't it going to be different for us in our day and age? The hostilities that we suffer, aren't they going to be different? And the answer is no, they are really the same. And so we first see, as we look at Jesus and consider the hostilities that he endured, that he endured hostilities from family and friends. He endured hostility from family and friends. First, we look at family, and we see in John chapter 7, which tells us his brother he was raised up with. This is an amazing thing. If you can imagine being in the family, the human family of Jesus Christ, what a stark difference it must have been as you looked at yourself and as you looked at your other brothers and sisters and even at your parents, and to see this one brother of yours who never sinned. This one brother who never sinned. But John chapter, others did not believe in him. They taunted him to prove who he was, saying to him, if you're going to do all these miracles over in this town, you are what you're doing, and here's a great time to do it at this feast. Do it our way. And Jesus told him he wouldn't do it their way. But they were pressuring him. They were taunting him. In Mark chapter 7, we're told that his own people, and we don't know exactly or people close to him, but it certainly could include his family, his own people said he was out of his mind because he was healing so many, allowing people to call him the Son of God, and with so great a crowd following him. The Scripture tells us in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, they came to take him away because he was out of his mind. That was his family. That was people that he grew up with. People who knew him intimately and had for many, many years. Hostility may come to you as it did to Jesus from family. Because of the things that you believe, because of the race that you are running, because of the faithful life that you are seeking to live. But it will also come from friends. Hostility will come from friends. The psalm that we sang this morning speaks of Jesus and his enemies saying, "Even my in whom I trusted, who ate my bread," these are phrases of intimacy. My own familiar friend, someone I trusted, who ate with me, has lifted up his heel against me. In other words, he has opposed me. And John 13 reveals to us that it was Jesus, or Judas rather, who was that friend who lifted up his heel against Christ. Hostilities will come to you. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, will come from your friends. And one of his closest friends, Peter, one in the inner circle of the 12 of his friends, opposed him. He opposed him to the point that Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." In Matthew 16:22, Peter sought to deter Jesus from going to the cross to die. And Jesus said to Peter, as he opposed him, as he tried to stand in his way and say, "This will never happen to you," Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." See, there was this point in Peter's life at one time that he was not thinking correctly about Jesus. Jesus said, "You are not mindful of the things of God. You are not correctly about what God sent me here to do. You are not being mindful. You are not thinking correctly about the Son of God. And as the Savior of all, you're not being mindful. You're not thinking right." And so it's an attitude of pride that we might sit here this morning, if you are, and I encourage you not to be, thinking, "Well, this doesn't really apply. Mindful, I'm pretty much thinking right." But the Spirit of God in Hebrews chapter 12 was also writing to Christians, to those professing faith in Jesus Christ, and he said to them, "Consider Christ. Consider Christ who endured hostilities from sinners against himself." Think right about Christ and think right about Christ. And I know in you have in fact already experienced hostilities from family and from friends. And if you haven't, the more you live a godly life and run the race set before you, you will probably face the hostile actions of family and friends. Throughout my years as a Christian, I have faced that, like you, from choosing things such as homeschooling to practices of worship or to keeping the Lord's Day. We have faced opposition from family and friends. And yet this is the race that the Lord Jesus has set before us to run. My son, my oldest son, just the other day was talking to me about how it came in a conversation that he would not be doing one thing or another because it was the Lord's day. And the person that he was talking to said, "What, have you become a Jew now?" And it wasn't a question of information, it was a statement of mockery. We're going to face hostilities from sinners against ourselves. Second, Jesus endured hostilities from those of the faith and foes. Faith and foes. Those who profess faith in God. The Pharisees, the scribes, were openly hostile to Jesus. Yet, they professed to be of the faith. They professed to be of Israel, the children of God. In Luke chapter 20, we're told the chief priests and the scribes sought to lay hands on him to deliver him to the governor. This was their open hostility, though they professed faith in the same God that Jesus did. The same God that Jesus said he was sent from. In John chapter 18, it tells us they sought to kill him for healing on the Sabbath and making himself equal with God. The Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers, and many of the Jews were openly hostile to Jesus, seeking to persecute him, seeking to stop him, though they professed to be of the same faith. In John chapter 8, verses 52 to 59, they accused Jesus of having a devil and sought to stone him to death. John 18, it was the Pharisees and Judas and their troops who came to Jesus at night and arrested him and held a false trial, then led him to Pilate seeking his death. And Pilate, as we talked about earlier, though he wanted to release Jesus, he was not Jesus' friend. Would you consider somebody your friend who knew you to be innocent but still delivered you up to be crucified? Those are not the actions of a friend, and yet this was the hostility that this government leader showed towards Jesus Christ. See, Jesus faced hostilities and endured hostilities from sinners who are closest to him, from those who openly profess faith in God, and those who opposed him as his foe. From family, friends, and professors in faith and foes. And these are the kind of people that you too will endure hostilities. And so we are being called here this morning to consider hostilities that he considered in preparation for the hostilities that we will face. Hebrews 12:3 tells us to consider Christ the man who endured these hostilities from sinners. And we are to consider Christ as the person, not just to admire him and his strength, but we are being called to something more him, more about him, to think of him and his enduring of hostilities to help us. Because you are going to endure hostilities from sinners against yourself. And that has the potential to bring weariness and discouragement to your souls. And so the Spirit of God does not leave you helpless, but calls you to prevent this weariness and discouragement, to consider the help he brings you to endure in your race of faith, and that's what we see in the last part of verse 3, Hebrews chapter 12, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The Spirit of God knows this is what you are facing or what you are going to face from friends and family and foes and sinners of all kinds, just as Jesus did. And it is a reality here that the Spirit puts before you in His Word and calls you by faith to believe it. That if you will but consider Christ, who He is, and what that you, in fact, will be strengthened to prevent discouragement and weariness. It's a prevention measure. It certainly is also a measure to take up when you are actually going through this experience of weariness and discouragement. But here, it is presented to us as prevention, lest you become. Because the situations and the circumstances and the wind will be pressing against you. And it will be difficult to run the race of faith. So, lest you be discouraged when that stuff is happening. Consider Christ and the hostilities that He faced for your health. For your help. This is what the Spirit is telling the Hebrew Christians. And this is what He is telling us today. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is a true man. He came to earth to take on the form of man, to suffer all the miseries of mankind in this life. So what's really being presented to us here this morning is, are you considering who He is and the hostilities that He faced? And do you think of Jesus beyond these times of worship? Do you think of Jesus beyond your daily private worship? Do you think of Jesus when you are in the workplace? Do you think of Jesus when you are in your community, amongst sinners and believers alike? Do you think of Jesus Christ when you are raising your children? When you are relating to your spouse? Because this is oftentimes where some of this discouragement and weariness comes from. In these kind of situations. And so the Spirit of God is telling us to think rightly about Jesus so that we don't become weary and discouraged in the race of faith. To think rightly of Jesus Christ is to know who He is and what He has suffered. And to also know that though He suffered greatly at the hands of men, He suffered greatly from sinners, this great hostility. And ultimately, He suffered in death. He was raised up by His Father. He was raised up to life again. And so as we think of Christ, we cannot think of Him just in one aspect or two aspects. We need to think of the whole person and the whole work that He has done. And the resurrection is included in that. So if you only think of Christ's life and His death, you are not considering Him fully. And what that life and death was for, if you only consider Him in those things. He was a man who was and is holy and died and was resurrected to life. This is to strengthen you, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Not just a surface weariness, not just a surface discouragement, but a weariness that is in your very being, your very inner man. We are to consider and think rightly about the Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection and His exaltation are the rewards that all those who endure such hostilities to the end, who come in this race of faith, will also receive. We too will be resurrected. We too will be exalted and seated with Jesus Christ. These are the things that we are to be thinking about. When the wind is pushing against us, as it always will be as we run this race of faith. So as you run, run with endurance. Not only looking at Jesus, but rightly thinking about Him. Who He was in His person. How He suffered hostilities from sinners against Himself. how he endured all the way to and through death and was resurrected to new life. So shall it be for all of those who by faith run the race of faith with endurance. If you are weary right now, if you are discouraged in your soul, could it be that you are not considering Christ rightly? Because it seems that if this is the preventative measure to take to keep that from happening, that if it is happening, I must not be looking at the right person. I must not be thinking about Christ correctly. I must be looking at my circumstances or my situations or the lack of things that I might think God should be providing in my life and looking at myself rather than looking at Christ and considering Him in all His holiness, all His sufferings, and His resurrection. In which if you are trusting in Christ as your Savior, you are united to Him, and He is your help. His resurrection is your help for weariness and discouragement. Because His resurrection is yours. And you, if you are in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, will also be resurrected. And keeping your heart and your mind and your thoughts on those things will prevent you from becoming weary and discouraged. There's no doubt in my mind that the tempter is even working on some of you even now saying, is it that easy? No, it's not that easy. It's not a magic formula. It is a command and a task that you are given to consider Christ. To actually take something up and do it. To think of Christ. And to think of Him by faith, believing that He is who He said He is. The Son of God and true man. He is the Savior who died and was resurrected. To think right will help you not to become weary and discouraged in your souls. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we know, Lord, that as soon as we hear these things, oftentimes doubt rushes in. And the wind blows back against us and says, it can't be that easy. And we're not saying it's easy, Lord. We're just saying that you are teaching us here that we are to do it. And that you will renew us and strengthen us with your own power. We pray, Father, that you would help us when we are tempted to look at our situations and circumstances and events in our life or lack thereof. That we would look at Jesus, we would consider Christ and think rightly about Him, so that we would not become discouraged and weary in our souls, but that we could, with Him, look at these hostilities with joy, knowing that we too will be seated with Christ at His right hand. We pray, Father, that You would do these things and help us to look at Jesus and consider Him.